Blog Talk Radio.
I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. We're going to talk, of course, about the Billy Meier case this afternoon. And if you've been listening to the show lately, you know I've been doing a lot of shows on the book called The Might of Thoughts, Mach der Gedanken, a book that has been written to help the people of the earth who are said to be ill in our consciousness. We live in a consciousness-conditioned tyranny, a tyranny that can be traced all the way back to the Giza intelligences who came back after the fall of Atlantis and Lemuria, oh, some 11.5 thousand years ago, and they set up these old cubicle constructions far below the Giza Plateau, and they used religion in many ways to control the people of the earth. And we've talked about these brutal dictators, started with Eris the 11th and came all the way to around 1970 with Comegall the 2nd. Since about the 70s, the Giza intelligence have been pushed off the earth, but still there's been over the centuries much damage done to the consciousness of the people of the earth. And this book is all about restoring health to our thinking. We all have a pictorial imagination. And one of the ways our thoughts become reality is using this pictorial imagination. A thought can become a wish. And if you nurture your thoughts, that means you help them grow, you clarify them, you repeat them. These are healthy, neutral, positive thoughts. Then eventually these wishes can become what the Might of the Thoughts book calls a consciousness picture. And if you apply enthusiasm to this consciousness picture, then that thought, that consciousness picture, can eventually become a reality in the circumstances of your life. So just as lower thoughts lead to lower feelings, lead to lower habits and lower circumstances, healthy, neutral positive thoughts lead to healthy feelings, which lead to healthy habits and then healthy circumstances in your life. Another thing you can use to help create the circumstances in your life that you want, let me read this to you. Let Billy say it. Therefore, since time immemorial, it has been said, tend a thought or utter it, and it happens. And just as it is with a thought, the word is might and command. So, if you have something that you want to become reality in your life, it helps to actually say that out loud. So tell yourself, all is well. If you're working on increasing your knowledge, tell yourself, I'm learning. And that thought, if you utter it, it tends to happen. And we have a duty to enjoy the abundance of our lives. And it's kind of our right to do that. So we need to tend our consciousness like a garden. Our consciousness is very much like a garden. even if we totally neglect our consciousness, we'll have things that spring up in that consciousness. And those things that spring up can be like weeds. And those weeds, those negative thoughts, can repeat. Check your consciousness for repeating, wildly repeating negative thoughts. And if you find those repeating thoughts coming back again and again and again, you have to learn to reach in there, pull those thoughts out by the root, stop the cycle of repeating negative thoughts. Because if you don't, it can lead to insanity, delusion, a psychical disorder, a psychic illness. But if you have good, healthy, neutral, positive thoughts, then it will strengthen your immune system. It will, you'll be a happier person, and eventually you'll be more successful. What the human being thinks, he makes real. Good and positive thoughts must be tended and nurtured. And part of getting good positive thoughts is having a good opinion of yourself. Even if you have flaws, you don't need to dwell and focus on your flaws. Look into your consciousness. Find something that about you that's good and that's healthy. Focus on that. Don't focus on your flaws. Focus on what is good and healthy and positive and strong in your own life. And cherish that. Support and encourage that. Strengthen those aspects of yourself. Strengthen your conscious. Because not only do we have conscious thoughts, but we have unconscious thoughts and unconscious perceptions. And remember, there's a difference between feelings and emotions. The emotions erupt up suddenly like lightning. The feelings tend to respond towards thoughts. So if you have a thought, usually a feeling will slowly grow out of that. So, and watch as these thoughts slowly grow. And make sure you steer them so they're healthy and they're neutral positive. Now, if you get into unhealthy thinking, you'll narrow your perception and you'll focus on just one little thing and you'll keep repeating issues regarding this one little thing. And again, lower thoughts form lower feelings, lower habits, and lower circumstances, like alcoholism, hate, affliction, grief, bitterness, many kinds of suffering. If you feel confusion and exhaustion, that's a red flag that you may be repeating thoughts that are negative. You may not even recognize. They may be slightly towards the negative. And don't let your thoughts just drift. If your thoughts just drift, then you can go, before you realize it, into negative, destructive thoughts. Each individual should steer his own thoughts and help others. Live and help live. Be magnanimous. A person that is magnanimous is generous and forgiving, especially towards someone or some other being that is less powerful than you. Be forgiving an insult. Forgive an injury. Be free from resentfulness and vindictiveness. Be magnanimous, and it will also help you, because if you're magnanimous, if you're forgiving, if you have effective love, then all these creational natural laws will help you in your life, because you're kind of in the flow of the universal consciousness, and part of this flow of the universal consciousness is optimism. And optimism leads to enthusiasm. Remember, when you have a thought, that thought can become a wish. Nurture your wishes, and then they can flow into a consciousness picture where you're imagining a positive event occurring in your life. If there's something that you want, that you're working for, imagine this event happening. And then you'll start to feel enthusiasm. And then you'll start to move this consciousness picture to reality. Now, the consciousness picture that's forming in your psyche will also itself generate other thoughts that will lead to other wishes. So then you'll start a little cycle of positive thinking or neutral positive thinking. Now, if there's something that's causing a bit of anxiety, face that problem head on. Be an optimist. An optimist tends to face these issues head on because what's causing the anxiety is that which is unknown. And Billy says that optimistic behavior enables a human being to see and acknowledge the clear truth, even in the worst situation. An optimist is therefore not a clown. He's not a comical figure. He's a human being who, under the greatest pressure, remains hopeful. One thing that about an optimist, people find optimists very interesting. A person that's an optimist is kind of enchanting. And people will be gravitated to an optimist. So optimism is good for your social life. Now, it's also good for your health. Because if you're pessimistic, your body's going to release something called the stress hormone, cortisol. And this cortisol will help you metabolize fat and protein, but it's immunosuppressive. It will weaken your metabolism. So these are just some of the things that are covered in the Might of the Thoughts book. And it's very interesting that we have great thinkers in the past who we have tended in history not always to listen to. One of those great thinkers in the past is a man called Plato. And I've been playing some clips in regard to Plato. So let me cue this up and we will listen to this clip again that talks about some of the ideas of Plato.
Aristotle was born around 384 BC in the ancient Greek kingdom of Macedonia, where his father was the royal doctor. He grew up to be arguably live here. There are fine baths, theatres, temples, shopping arcades, and gymnasiums. It's warm for more than half the year. This is also home to the world's first true and probably greatest philosopher, Plato. Born into a prominent and wealthy family in the city, Plato devoted his life to one goal, helping people to reach a state of what he termed eudaimonia, or fulfillment. Plato is often confused with Socrates. Socrates was an older friend who taught Plato a lot but didn't write any books. Plato wrote lots of them, 36, all dialogues, beautifully crafted scripts of imaginary discussions in which Socrates is always allotted a starring role, among them the Republic, the Symposium, the Laws, the Meno, and the Apology. Plato had four big ideas for making life more fulfilled.
Okay, let's talk about those big ideas. I want to summarize them quickly because the clip kind of jumps around and it's hard to follow. What are Plato's four big ideas about making your life better, making your life more fulfilled? He said, think carefully and logically about how you want to lead your life and don't let your emotions drag you along. Know yourself. That was the first thing. The second thing is let those who love you change you. That was his philosophy. So I guess that means be flexible. The third thing he talks about is decoding the message of beauty. Plato says that beautiful things whisper truths about the good life. And this reminds me of something that Billy says. Billy says the incredible splendor, that love is the visible expression of the incredible splendor of nature. In other words, nature has great beauty. And this is the visible expression of the love of creation. See, Plato was seeing that. He was seeing that beauty whispers these truths. So beauty is very good for the psyche. And that's why I always, you know, suggest for people to spend some time in nature and focus on nature. Because beautiful things whisper truth. And nature is the visible expression of the love of creation. The other thing that Plato talked about was reforming society. Now listen to this happened 4 centuries BC. Sounds like the same mistakes we're making. Athens was a society that was very focused on the rich people and the sports celebrities. Can you believe that? There's even one boxer that they talk about on this clip. And bad heroes give glamour to flaws in character. Boy, how many of our entertainers and politicians have just horrible flaws in their character? I would say most of them. Let's pick back up in our clip.
First big idea, think more. We rarely give ourselves time to think carefully and logically about our lives and how to lead them. Sometimes we just go along with what the Greeks called doxa, or popular opinions. In the 36 books he wrote, Plato showed this common sense to be riddled with errors, prejudice, and superstition. Fame is great. Follow your heart. Money is the key to a good life. The problem is, popular opinions edge us towards the wrong values, careers, and relationships. Plato's answer is, know yourself. It means doing a special kind of therapy, philosophy, subjecting your ideas to examination rather than acting on impulse. If you strengthen your self-knowledge, you don't get so pulled around by feelings. Plato compared the role of our feelings to being dragged dangerously along by a group of wild horses. In honor of his mentor and friend Socrates, this kind of examination is called a Socratic discussion.
So, what should we do? We should analyze our thoughts, correct our thoughts if they go outside the neutral positive parameters, stop the cycling of negative thoughts. By doing that, you'll improve your life circumstances, you'll enhance your immune system, and you'll eventually have enthusiasm and optimism in your life. So these are some of the things that we can do to strengthen our own thoughts, to know ourselves. Now, even in the book called The Talmud of Emmanuel, The Talmud of Emmanuel talks about at least one Greek saying that Plato talked about. And it says, man is the measure of all things, which is with an extended prophecy about people in the future, which says they will also lose sight of the principle of the oldest wisdom, which says that humans are the measure of all things in life. Because after all, they are a part of creation. Now, we all have the human spirit located in our superior colliculus, which is a tiny fragment of the universal consciousness. So we are literally a part of creation in that sense. And we will merge back with creation. And also in the Talmud of Emmanuel, it urges the use of logic. Remember logic? Part of logic is deductive reasoning. If A, then B. If all men are mortal, if Mark is a man, then Mark is mortal. That means I'm going to die. And death is nothing to fear. Death is only part of a cycle. And each time we die, the spirit form comes out of the body and goes into the spiritual realm, and the spirit form goes into another area. The material consciousness that you had in your previous life goes into an area called the overall consciousness block, and your past life memories are processed so that what you learned that was useful towards evolution then is kind of converted into a neutral positive state and then is absorbed by your spirit form. And that's what helps your evolution. So the wisdom of your predecessor personality is next time you're physically born, the wisdom of those predecessor personalities placed in your subconscious, and you'll be inspired by your predecessor personalities. Now, one of the things that the Meyer information talks about is Plato, and we've been talking about Plato, and they also say that Plato reincarnated, the Plato that we're talking about, reincarnated in 1892 as a man named Otto Heinrich Muck, who was born in Vienna. He graduated as an engineer in the Munich College of Advanced Technology, and he had a very productive life. Otto Muck, he holds patents for 2,000 inventions that he made. He was a German man. He was a flying officer in World War I. And during World War II, he invented what was called the U-boat snorkel. And he was a member of the Peenemünde rocket research team. I don't know if you've ever heard of Peenemünde. That was where the Nazis were building these very advanced rockets, some of the V-2s that would be used to bomb the British in World War II. But Plato evidently then was, you know, reincarnated as this German who fought in World War I and worked at this on this rocket research in World War II. He was also, Muck, after the war, became a scientific consultant on large industrial concerns, and he died in 1956 following an accident. One of the famous things that Plato said was that knowledge is justified true belief. So let's pick back up in our Plato clip.
You can have it with yourself, or ideally with another person who isn't trying to catch you out, but wants to help you clarify your own ideas. Second big idea, let your lover change you. That sounds weird if you think that love means finding someone who wants you just the way you are. In the Symposium, Plato's play about a dinner party where a group of friends drink too much and get talking about love, sex, and relationships, Plato says, true love is admiration. In other words, the person you need to get together with should have very good qualities, which you yourself lack. Let's say they should be really brave or organized or warm and sincere. By getting close to this person, you can become a little like they are. The right person for us helps us grow to our full potential. For Plato, in a good relationship, a couple shouldn't love each other exactly as they are right now. They should be committed to educating each other and to enduring the stormy passages this inevitably involves. Each person should want to seduce the other into becoming a better version of themselves. 3. Decode the message of beauty. Everyone pretty much likes beautiful things, but Plato was the first to ask, why do we like them? He found a fascinating reason. Beautiful objects are whispering important truths to us.
Okay, let's talk about the beauty of creation again. Semyase, Billy's second contact, told him that love and wisdom go together and that the creation and its laws are love and wisdom at the same time. And love is the highest principle in creation. And everything follows that principle in absolute logic. Every tiny plant, every tiny animal fulfills its purpose in love, because love is the fundamental creational natural law of the universe. And this universal consciousness, it radiates love, so that at every moment and every day, you can experience the radiating love of creation. But it takes and finding a kind of sensitivity to do that. The German word empfinden is a fine sensitive feeling that allows us to perceive this radiating love creation. If you get a time to go outdoors and absorb some negative ions, you'll start to understand and experience the joy associated with creation. Now, we've talked about Atlantis before on this show, Atlantis and Lemuria, and how there were extraterrestrial humans who came here about 133,000 years ago. One man was named Atlant. He was a man of obvious Lyrian descent, broad shoulders, pasty white skin, and his wife Caryatide came with him. With thousands of other people, they settled on an island continent that was at that time between South America and Africa, and it wasn't long before we started to see the beautiful architecture of the Atlanteans. A man named Muras, another king of wisdom, came here and created Lemuria, or Mu as it's called, the land of Mu, which was where we would call the Gobi Desert now. And there was a Garth Alpha and a Garth Beta, which were two cities under Lemuria that were connected by these tunnels. And anyway, for thousands of years, these people, they lived in peace and harmony until a king of wisdom, who was not a king of wisdom because he was spiritual, but a king of wisdom because he was a scientist, came here by the name of Eris the Barbarian. He conquered the North Polar region, which at that time was like a very beautiful area, very warm, and it was called Hyperborea. So Eris the Barbarian conquered Hyperborea. His son went into India, what is called India and Pakistan today, and conquered those areas. Anyway, Eris and his followers stirred up this great controversy, which ended in a war where the Atlanteans were destroyed, but they also destroyed Mu. It was kind of they basically canceled each other out. However, the Lemurians brought back this great asteroid and attacked Atlantis. And this attack created a worldwide inferno beyond description. And there's an Egyptian priest which talks about this, who says that the catastrophe even killed those living in Athens at the time. But later, when the violent earthquakes and floods occurred, the entire populace of people near Atlantis were just simply swallowed up. And in a single dreadful day and a single dreadful night, Atlantis was completely gone. I have a clip that talks a little bit about Atlantis. It's not necessarily Atlantis from the perspective of the Meyer material, but Atlantis from the perspective of open-minded historians who are now starting to search for the truth. So let's cue this up and get this rolling.
The story of Atlantis has intrigued humanity for millennia, founded the experts and brought wonderment to the general public. Ever since Plato described in great detail the history and demise of that Atlantean empire in his writings of Critias and Timaeus from around 400 BC. So if the story is real history, why and when did the Atlantean Empire crumble? And why have we heard so few details about this dominant economic and military force of the ancient world? Were the ancient Atlantean star mappers and earth mappers back in the Ice Age, as some historians suggest? Did Atlanteans have the capacity for space travel, and did they disappear through some vortex-like wormhole? Or were they destroyed by some galactic upheaval, as some mythologists suggest? Does the story of Atlantis even confirm some biblical accounts of the book of Genesis? This documentary explores the newly discovered, down-to-earth findings of several offshore sites now considered to be a part of the ancient Atlantean Empire, and considers their implications for the timing of when Atlantis was consumed by the sea. To far-flung locations throughout the world, representing an empire of global proportions that was wiped out at the end of the Ice Age.
I absolutely do think that the story of Atlantis fits into real history. And just to put that in context, if we look at what mainstream scholars regard as the recent history of the Earth, everybody is agreed that there was an event called the Last Ice Age, and that the Last Ice Age came to an end rather cataclysmically about 12,000 years ago.
Okay, the Meyer material confirms what Graham Hancock is saying there. About 11.5 thousand years ago, there was a great cataclysm when this asteroid came back and destroyed the Earth. Plato talked about the reality of Atlantis. Plato has reincarnated here on the Earth again as Otto Muck, who worked for the Nazis in World War II at the Peenemünde rocket research team. So we see reincarnating spirit forms here on the Earth. And the purpose of our life is to gather wisdom. Wisdom is a kind of knowledge which produces energy. And the energy of wisdom helps the whole creation to evolve. And the only thing that the universal consciousness requires of you is evolution. And that's what the purpose of our lives is to evolve our consciousness. We have consciousness evolution. Even the tiny bacteria have a kind of microevolution. The wisin, the animals, the higher animals, have a kind of intelligence evolution. We as human beings have a higher kind of evolution. Our consciousness evolves. So what that means is not only does our intelligence increase, but our awareness increases. Our awareness of the whole universe. And we, each lifetime, we gather a little more knowledge, lifetime after lifetime. And we have a special ability to receive these signals, these impulses, which come out of the storage banks. There are planetary storage banks. There are universal storage banks, which are sending us impulses. Impulses are signals, informational signals. Because the purpose of our lives is evolution, and the universal consciousness, the universe is set up for that. And one of the things that we do when we're evolving is solving problems. And we solve problems through the might of our thoughts, and that's why problems do come into your life. These problems are there so you can solve them and to help you in your evolution, because problem solving leads to evolution. Anyway, I was talking about these impulses which come from the storage banks, and there are spiritual storage banks. They're called the Strudel in the German. So we also get impulses related to our spiritual life. The peace meditation, for example, helps bring impulses out of the storage banks related to peace. Impulses that are there's a Lyrian phrase which the people utter in the Figu. It's called Salam Gamnan Ben Erda Ganiba Asala Hesperona, peace on earth and to all beings. And this releases certain knowledge and energies from the storage banks, because peace and evolution kind of go hand in hand. The Pleiaren, who Billy has had contact with since about 5 years of age, have had about 50,000 years now of uninterrupted evolution. They've had about 50,000 years of peace. So they're so far evolved, they're no longer physically compatible with Earth humans. So if they come within something like 90 feet of Earth humans, it's very, very uncomfortable for them. We have kind of a auric stench, so to speak. But it's even worse than that, because the energies that we emit at our lower evolutionary level literally can cause them to lose control. of their might of thoughts, of their world of thoughts, and even affect their bodies in negative ways. Some people wonder, why won't they have open contact? Well, they've already evolved to a point where, generally speaking, they cannot even be in our physical presence. But the ability is a little different because of the age of the spirit form. You see, Billy, on the earth here, in relatively recent times, within the last 13,000 years, he has incarnated multiple times on the earth. I was talking about Plato, who had reincarnated as Otto Heinrich Muck in 1892, where Billy's spirit form has been Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Muhammad. And each one of these incarnations, he taught the teaching of the spirit, which the teaching of the spirit talks about the human spirit form. It talks about universal consciousness. It discusses reincarnation. It deals a little bit with prophecy and history. But it also very much teaches us to control our thought. Thinking, the analyzation of our thinking, and that's what we're doing today. We're looking at the might of our thoughts. One of the things that we have to watch out for in our lives is not being satisfied. Unsatisfaction kills off our initiative. So if you find yourself getting hung up, we all do it, we're not satisfied with something, that's going to depress you. That's going to take away your initiative, your enthusiasm. So don't sink into unsatisfaction. It will lead to misery. It'll lead to brooding. It'll lead to inactivity. And it'll also lead to a kind of oversaturation, because our thoughts will start to overburden us. So initiative is the power or opportunity to take charge. And you can take charge of your life. The might of your thoughts will allow you to take charge in your life. Initiative also means ability. So being unsatisfied shuts down this ability. So don't let your consciousness become oversaturated. Wrong thinking can lead to oversaturation, which will also lead to an absence of creativity, a lack of ideas, a lack of initiative. Sometimes you just have to keep moving when you start to feel yourself falling into this kind of trap. Essentially, unsatisfaction kills motivation. And oversaturation means to be, well, in the terms of chemistry, it means to cause a substance to unite with the greatest possible amount with another substance, like in a chemical solution. But another example of oversaturation would be to have endless repetition of the same sitcom or commercial or television show or radio song on the radio. And oversaturation can lead to the absence of creativity. It's really interesting the way the global elite control this world, because we are bombarded. We are oversaturated with the news. All the public radio stations oversaturate with the same music over and over and over again. We never get variety. See, we live in a consciousness-conditioned tyranny, which is literally designed intentionally to circumvent the might of your thoughts. And because the might of your thoughts is shut down when you go into a narrowing of your perception. And here the global elite constantly oversaturating you with everything. Television shows, the same thing over and over and over again. Oversaturation. And that takes away creativity. When your creativity is taken away, then that leads to inactivity. You'll lose your initiative. I have a clip here from Alex Jones and Michael Savage.
I have followed their speeches at colleges and high schools. It's constantly hearkening back to the civil rights movement and how black people used to be in the back of the bus and how your ancestors suffered. We were getting along. We were moving together in this society. There was a relative harmony in this country. And then this administration came along, and we feared what would happen is happening. Alex, you know it's going to get much worse. You know they're ramping it up for the 2016 election. We all see that. You don't have to be an Einstein to see what this man is doing. You know, give him one credit. He's diabolically a genius.
He really is diabolical. And you know, I always say it's an elite running things, but as you know, there's different power structures. This really is a cancerous power structure that actually believes their communist ideology. It's just crazy.
Well, I you know, a story just came out over the weekend about Fidel Castro's former bodyguard who said that he gave up on Fidel. When Bush was president, they were invited to the White House. Remember that, Alex? Were
yes.
you invited? I wasn't.
No.
They were given a tour. I wasn't invited, but Hannity went there. Old Hannity went there. They all went in there.
Well, they had private meetings with Bush. But that's the thing. Where does the establishment Blue Blood Country Club group think they're going to be in their luxury golf courses when they bring in a violent revolution? How stupid are they? What is their problem?
I don't think they think that far ahead. I think they live for today. They live for the comfort of today, the convenience of today. They believe there's a buffer between them and the masses, and that whatever hits the fan isn't going to hit them. They actually think they're insulated.
Sounds like Marie Antoinette.
Well, yeah, as I said, the guillotines are already being released, you know.
Anyway, these are people that are seeing this dark order. Some people call it the New World Order. I don't know if that's the correct name. What does Billy say? It says this group wants to seize ever more might, more money, that they want the entire mastery over the whole earth. And they're spreading their evil supremacy around the world. These people are greedy for blood as well as profits. We're living in a time, it's called the third millennium. Confusion and maliciousness is spreading over the earth. However, how do we fight this? Well, we fight this with the power of our own thoughts. Because our thoughts can lead to wish dreams or wishes, which if we nurture them, we can form consciousness pictures in our mind, which also then run back to our thoughts and form more good, neutral, positive, healthy thoughts. And eventually, if you add a little work to these consciousness pictures that you have, you can turn these things into reality. See, the power of our thoughts is incredible. We really don't have the limitations that we think we have. And it's very important to keep your thoughts neutral, positive. If your thoughts are neutral, positive, it will help those around you. It will help the circumstances of your life. It will aid your immune system. It will bring you into happiness. It will give you initiative, enthusiasm, optimism. Now, unfortunately, the people of the earth are falling into a kind of apathy. We're becoming indolent. We're becoming obtuse. We've been hypnotized by television. Be very careful about allowing yourself to be hypnotized by things. Too much of a belief-based perception can lead to a kind of hypnotism, which shuts down logic. Now, how would I prove that? I always use the extreme examples to kind of give examples of this. Let's look once again. I tend to like to do this. We can look a little bit at, if we have any here, I think I do have a few clips that talk about some of the strange and amazing, crazy preachers we have on TV now. So let me bring up.
Do you like religious TV?
We propelled. Birds propel. Eagles don't propel. We said, hook up, hook up.
I love religious TV.
What fools the nations are to rage against the Lord.
I'm a channel surfing religious TV couch potato fool. I once sat in a motel room in Meridian, Mississippi, watching a Pentecostal revival meeting that lasted 3.5 hours, and they didn't even use snakes.
Okay, the material tells us not to fall back into mindless belief, but be personally responsible for your life. Use deductive reasoning. Use the power of your own thoughts. Control the circumstances of your own life. Do not become a victim to this dark order, which is spreading its dangerous and fatal poison of hatred around. Are you notice the way there are all of these race wars, and there's all of these, all of this hate and all this conflict? We don't need to spread hatred. We don't need to spread anger. You know, what we need to spread is neutral, positive, healthy thoughts. Share them with everything. If you have neutral, positive, healthy thinking, that will help your neighbor, because good thinking is very contagious. In fact, thinking is contagious. So is behavior. So make sure your behavior is also good. Now, the other thing that's going on here is many people are demoralized right now and hopeless. Some of them don't have work. Some of them don't have a home. And Billy describes Earth humans as people that are having trouble setting down roots. Again, if you're in bad circumstances right now, what you need to do is start out by controlling your thoughts, because controlling your thoughts will then put away those bad feelings. Remember, even if you utter something, a word, what I like to say is all is well, all is well, all is well. If you say those words out loud, eventually, if you add, you know, good thinking and work and things like that, you can, all will be well in your life. Unfortunately, many people have a hopeless feeling of despair. And Billy talks about the homelessness that we have right now. And we have a real cognitive dissonance here on the earth. But we don't need to have cognitive dissonance. We need to focus on steering our life consciously in accord with our innermost creational nature. We have a material consciousness and a spiritual consciousness. Our spiritual consciousness is invulnerable. Your spirit form cannot be harmed by anything in this earth. And we live many, many, many lifetimes. We reincarnate again and again and again. And if you'll take and control your thoughts and steer your life in relation to your innermost creational nature, then you will have good, positive results. Remember, one of the things that Semyase said, she said to Billy that the human spirit is the bearer of the creative realm. She said it would tell you if your thoughts were right or wrong if you pay attention to your human spirit. See, your human spirit records all your thoughts, all of your impulsations. She called it the wonder of all wonders. And that's how amazing the human spirit is. It is, you could think of it as a fragment of the universal consciousness. So, since your human spirit is a fragment of the universal consciousness, you should not even be submissive. Don't be submissive. You can be respectful, but don't be submissive. If you're going to be great in your consciousness, don't be submissive. Our governments, the dark order, our religions teach submissiveness. You should be personally responsible in your life. Don't be submissive. You are responsible for your ideas, your thoughts, and your feelings. Dare to execute reason. Now, the Meyer material says we should not be submissive to an imaginary deity, to angels, to saints, but that we should be personally responsible. You should have self-esteem. You are valuable. You are an important person. Do you know that every human being advances to all those seven levels of evolution that I've talked about in the past, no matter how difficult your circumstances are? Someday, you'll be at the fifth stage of human evolution, which is you'll be a king of wisdom. Now, at that point, your material consciousness will have incredible abilities of telekinesis, telepathy. On the earth, in the ancient past, there were human beings that were at this level of evolution who were on the earth. They were called gods. Now, eventually, we get up to those levels. Now, we should advance to those levels with humility. You have to learn, in some ways, to control your thoughts to get up to those higher levels of evolution. But we all get there. Every single person. It's amazing. I was very surprised to hear that. Again, if you utter a thought, it's most likely it will happen. Tell your, find your phrase, whatever your phrase is, all is well. All is well. All is well. And use your pictorial imagination. Use your pure consciousness picture. It is actually fluidly constructed, almost like an apparition. It's kind of a hazy thing that exists in your consciousness and your subconsciousness. But it's definitely tangible. So when you visualize, it will be tangible. And depending on the power of your imagination, this consciousness picture can assume a distinct form. Remember, your thoughts can become your wishes, your wish dreams. If you nurture those wish dreams, slowly you will have a picture. Maybe you have some place you want to move to. Maybe you want your house to look a certain way. Whatever your picture is, maybe you want your garden to grow a certain way. Add enthusiasm to that. If you add enthusiasm to your whatever your goal is, your zeal, then you will work towards that and you will eventually make that a reality. As you visualize, these consciousness pictures run back to generate more thoughts. So now you have something that's kind of running on its own. And much like, you know, you have those negative thoughts, well, your positive thoughts can run like that as well. So anyway, I think that's probably all for this afternoon. I hope you've enjoyed today's Ohio Exopolitics. I always enjoy hearing from you. Visit exopoliticsohio.us. We've got a lot of shows up there that you can listen to and download. Anyway, I'll talk to you later. Have a great afternoon.